Sometime back, the field of pop psychology gave us an image, suggesting that when we're down, when we're in difficult situations, maybe depressed, that we seek to call to mind or bring to life our inner child, suggesting that regardless of how old we are, there still lives within us a being, an inner child, that can be excited by small things, that can look at the world with wonder and serendipity, and we just had to find it. Well, in light of that, and on Mother's Day, I'd like to take that image and transpose it a little bit and invite us today to consider, to ponder, where we might find and what it might mean to have our inner mom. The inner mom. Now, whether we're moms or not, women or not, I think there is such a thing, and there are characteristics of a being of that sort that are useful to think about as we think about our life together and about our ministry. Your inner mom. There are several texts that call to mind some of this imagery, and I'll move through them as we move these thoughts. There are a few texts in the New Testament that depict Jesus' interaction with his mother or his parents. With the slight exception of one, they're not especially edifying. We know that when Jesus is left at the temple, he almost regards his parents with disdain when they finally find him after 3 days. Like, where did you think I would be? Duh. Other texts show similar kinds of interaction in relationship with his family. With one exception, at the very end of his life, Jesus is on the cross. And there's a sense of wistfulness about this, in addition to the sentiment, where he sees from the cross his mother and what's referred to in John's gospel as the disciple whom he loved, presumably John the Evangelist. And he says in the midst of dying to John, behold your mother, and to his mother, behold your son, and kind of gives them this mother-child relationship in a way because he really couldn't. And there's the wistfulness on this. You know, in a way, Jesus is saying, I could have been a better son if I didn't have to redeem the world. Behold your son, behold your mother. And it depicts what I think is part of all of our inner moms, loyalty. Loyalty. Loyalty means the persistence of love in spite of circumstance. The circumstances of Jesus' death were horrifying. His mother, his beloved disciple, were rightly horrified. But there they were. In spite of those circumstances, they were with him. Well, that's kind of what an inner mom is about in any relationship that means something to us. We are there not if things work out, but even if things aren't working out very well. Sometimes, sadly enough, things go haywire in our lives by our own doing. Is it not rather sadly true that the people that love us the most or who we love the most are also the ones that we can most deeply hurt? Loyalty to a relationship where even that's true goes beyond circumstance. The nature of the relationship, the enduring power and the benefit, the love that informs it, is worth even difficult circumstances even of our own making. Loyalty and love do not depend on circumstance. Now, how far do you want to push this? Well, there are circumstances that sometimes we read about that are rather dramatic. When at sentencing hearings, for example, where the children of mothers, adult children of mothers, have been convicted of horrible crimes, the mothers are called to say, yeah, that was dreadful, and he or she did a horrible thing. But you need to know something else. And mothers become character witnesses out of loyalty. Which is not to say that loyalty means enabling. Sometimes the most loving thing a mother or someone with an inner mom of this sort can do is to lead an intervention and to say, you know what? Stop this. And if you don't stop it, things are going to have to change. And it's only because we love you so much that we cannot continue to tolerate this behavior with these consequences. The point being, an inner mom, I believe that we all have, exhibits, experiences, and shares loyalty in ways that are unique to what we would call or exemplify the mother-child relationship. So when you find yourself experiencing or receiving loyalty, that's your inner mom. So also, the inner mom is characterized by deference, setting aside or moving to the background. In perhaps the least edifying interaction between Jesus and his mother, it's the wedding at Cana, Jesus' first public ministry. The wine gives out. So the wine steward, for reasons that have to do probably with Jesus' reputation, consults Mary, saying, "Can you ask Jesus about this?" And so apparently she goes and says to her beloved son, "They have no wine." Jesus' response is to look her in the eye and go, "Woman," not mom or mother, but "woman, what have you to do with me?" Just sort of blows her off. Mary takes a step back, whispers to the wine steward, "Just do what he tells you." And she fades back. Jesus comes out front, turns the water into wine, and that's the story we have. But the deference of the mom is intriguing. All of us have been in positions where we have carried a level of power even, that we can defer to others for their benefit. We have all been beneficiaries of the deference of others, whether this be in a parental relationship or some other sort, a professional relationship. Early in my own professional career, and I work at a publish or perish university, I don't get tenure. In other words, I don't get the right to stay and keep my job unless I publish a requisite number of things. Well, as this was looming for me, it was clear that I had probably enough, but one more would really help and probably seal the deal. So I had a conversation with my mentor, my teacher at Purdue, and he said, "Well, you know, I've been asked to be the guest editor of an issue of a journal." And he named the journal, which was a pretty good journal. And he said, "Ralph, the guy you went to grad school with, has got an article about half done. If you help Ralph finish that article and submit it to me, I can get it in that journal." That's empowering. He didn't have to do that. Well, that's exactly what happened. I helped him finish the article. We sent it to the guest editor of that journal. Got published just in time. Jerry gets tenure. Well, we're all asked to do that. Over the course of my career subsequently, I've put articles together that I have mostly worked on, but put someone else as first author because that helps them. I just am working on a data set now that I really don't have all of the skills that I need to analyze it. And so I dropped this big stack of data on the desk of a young visiting assistant professor in our department who's very skilled at this. And I said, "Look, you take the data, list me as second author, etc. This is what you do for the well-being of and the benefit of those with whom you work, with whom you live. You defer." Well, nobody does this better than mom. And the inner mom in all of us, when we take a step back, defer the credit, allow others to be in the limelight, well, that's a part of what becomes our ministry. The inner mom and loyalty, the inner mom and deference. Now, so far, we've been talking about moments that are sometimes fairly dramatic, at least relative to other moments in our lives. Testifying at court, an intervention, and so on. Dealing with something of professional significance to the level of publishing. But there is also a sense in which the inner mom comes to the fore in day-to-day life. Courtesy, dignity, and respect, or in the words of Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. More or less day by day. I call this the silly season at Texas Tech University. Starting about 2 or 3 weeks ago, as the end of the term is looming, I get emails from students now, some of which are asking me for the second or third time for information that they have received 4 or 5 times or could easily get on a website, on a previous email, from listening to what I said in class. And yet again, they want to know. Well, I posted final grades Friday about 4 o'clock. My email box started pinging about 4:15. With questions like, is that really what my grade means? Is there any way? Can I do anything? Is there extra credit? You said if our attendance was good, you'd bump us up. I got an email from one student whose point total was 177. 175 was the lowest possible C. So she's 2 points above that. And says, is there any way you could bump me up? 23 points? Well, when you get continually emails requesting information they have, when you get questions that are intuitively obvious to answer, it's very hard not to send a reply that begins, dear spit for brains. But you don't. I have gotten emails to that effect from administrators from time to time, and I don't much like it. So also, bless their little hearts, a little courtesy and dignity and face-saving never hurts. And I have learned this technique from someone whose inner mom is as strong as anyone I've ever met. You know, it doesn't hurt to say, I'm really sorry, I wish I could, but in a class this size, to be fair to the other students, it's just not close enough, and as much as I'd like to do otherwise, I just can't. The grade will have to stand. I wish you the very best. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. It's amazing how this works. I had a particularly contentious conversation with a student this term, about halfway through, about this sort of stuff, and again got an email, of which I just spoke a minute ago, and answered in that way, and got an email back from him fairly quickly that said, in effect, thanks for taking the time to explain it. I wish it was different too, but the class was good in spite of it. As opposed to, I'm going to appeal my grade, which it could have gone either way. But the spoonful of sugar helped the medicine go down in a very profound way. I thought that's the inner mom, in a sense, that seeks always to spin it as positively as possible, to allow people to save face and maintain levels of dignity, courtesy, and respect. The inner mom, loyalty, deference, and a little extra courtesy. What does this mean? Well, I think it defines who we are as people together doing ministry. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has another encounter with and about his family. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. The inner mom enables ministry. Doing the will of the one who saved us, who is loyal to his death, who defers to us to do his work, and who regards us as his children, day by day, every day. Be about his business. The inner mom makes ministry possible. Amen.